Welcome to Deep Dive, Celebrity Adjacent. I'm Andy Tarnoff, the host of the Deep Dive Podcast Network, and I am joined by my friend and my radio hero.
Oh, you're so funny.
I'm so serious, Carol. This is Carol Kane.
Yeah, well, I've been doing it a lot. I feel like Methuselah. I've been around for so long, you know? It's just, it's, somebody was asking me how long I've been doing this, and it's been, believe it or not, 45 years.
I believe it because, I mean, I don't want to date myself, but I mean, I remember being a kid and listening to you on the radio and
right.
then being a younger adult and being on the radio with you.
Right. I started, actually, I started in Fort Atkinson, and I actually, I lied to get my first job because it was a country station, and so I went in, and it was this really small AM station, and I was just out of college, and I knew they were looking for somebody, and they were talking about country music, and do you like it? And I'm like, oh, I love country music.
You don't strike me as a country music fan.
Well, I am now.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, because I played it for like three years. And I did the county fairs, and it was a great experience for me to build coming into Milwaukee. I never imagined, and for the first, because I went to school to be a veterinarian.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I went to school to be a veterinarian.
That would explain your love of dogs.
And yes, and I failed at it miserably. And I fell into this, into radio by chance because of the fact that I took this Radio 101 course because everybody said, oh, it's an easy course.
Yeah.
And it's an easy A and whatever. And 2 weeks into the class, the professor pulled me out into the hallway and he said, I think you could do this for a living. And I went, what? And Dr. Stephen Stills. And he...
Wait, Stephen Stills? Like Crosby, Stills, and Nash?
Shields.
Oh, okay. I'm like...
Oh, I got a whole Crosby, Stills.
You're burying the lead here.
I got a whole Crosby, Stills, and Nash story for you, too, at
okay.
some point in time.
Right.
So he got me started on the campus radio station and the cable station, and it took off from there. And my mother, for like the first 10 years of my career, kept saying, when are you going to get a real job? When are you going to get a
real
job?
Little did she know.
I know. And then when she ended up at Luther Manor when she was in her later years, she would everybody that would come, she would be, this is my daughter, Carol. She's on the radio.
Okay, look, anyone who's watching or listening to this in Milwaukee probably already knows who you are. Carol, for
45. For 30 years.
For the Dave and Carol show? That was
30 years.
Okay, 30 years. I mean, that was hot shit back in... Oh, we can swear, by the way.
Oh, that's right.
In the 80s and the 90s. Some of the 80s? A little bit of the 80s?
Late 80s. 90s.
All 90s. Some of the 2000s.
Right.
For these people, for the locals, no introduction is necessary. For people who are watching and listening outside of Milwaukee, people need to understand that this was like a different time. Like FM morning radio show host
right.
in a mid to large size market was
hot.
It was hot. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about here in the Celebrity Adjacent podcast. You were talking to A-list celebrities, some B-list celebrities, some C-list celebrities, and you have stories about people that other people typically don't have stories about, but I do too.
Yes, I know you do.
And that's where the Venn diagram of this podcast is going to come in, because in my 26 years with OnMilwaukee.com, I was not the hot shit that you were on the radio, but I still did an awful lot of interviews and had a lot of brushes with celebrities.
I was just in your house. I was just seeing all these pictures. Are you kidding?
Our history goes back to the mid-2000s when I was a regular guest on your
right.
radio show.
Sure.
And I would come in every Friday at like 7 a.m., which to you was like, that was not that early.
It was the middle of the day.
Yeah, to me, that was absurdly early. And I had to come in at 7 a.m. on Friday mornings and talk about Milwaukee stuff,
sure.
having never done live radio. And I remember you guys used to say to me, like, okay, bring more energy, Andy. And I was like, that's as much energy as I have. You're like, more. I'm like, I'm going to look like I'm on crack.
No, but the thing is that you're typically... it does take a lot of energy to do morning radio like
yeah.
that. Yeah, I mean, you have to hit the ground really running. And And that was fine, but you were so calm all the time. It was just like, come on.
That was how I was.
That's
so
how I know.
I had to really amp myself up. And I think it was good practice for this podcast stuff, because now I'm comfortable and I can turn it up and turn it down as needed.
Sure.
But because this is video and audio, we can just be ourselves.
Right.
So what I love about this is I have a feeling these are going to be like one take episodes.
I usually don't do more than one.
Yeah.
Just because of the fact that if you just let it flow and just be natural, it's going to work, period. That's what people like to hear anyhow. They want to hear the regular stuff.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I told you about being out in the middle of the night last night with my dog in my robe and my slippers trying to rally Sydney in, and I stepped in a pile of dog poop and I trailed it all the way through my house.
As one
does. I mean, those are the kinds of stories that people relate to, because everybody has them. Everybody.
Yeah. And you did it for so long. I mean, you did it on other radio stations. You did it on TV.
Yeah.
And I also know, because I did a story way back in the day about you guys, about what it's like to be an FM morning show host. And you got into the radio station at like 3:30 a.m. or something.
I left the house at 3. There were times where during blizzards and stuff, I left the house at 1.
And
my one story that I will tell you this, and you'll laugh at this. It was December 10th, and it was raging outside.
Yeah.
It was just raging. And my husband had a Suburban at the time, and I opened the garage door, and the snow was like 4 feet high. Mm-hmm. And I just gunned it and went, and I drove down. It took me an hour and a half because the station was on Valete, which is in, you know, kind of the north side area.
Right.
And I drove down Port Washington, and people are in their ditches and things like that, trying to dig themselves out. And I'm driving down with the window rolled down going, I'm sorry, I can't stop. I wish I could help you, but I can't.
But you made it.
But I made it, yes.
It's like, like the postal service, neither rain nor snow nor...
No, I had my
something
one boss,
night.
My one former boss, he called me after the show, and he said, I was not at all surprised to hear you. He says, I knew you would make it one way or the other.
Well, I am honored that you are
here. Oh, I'm so glad to be here.
Okay, the concept of this podcast, and we talked about this over coffee, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, the celebrity adjacent.
Okay.
We have these stories, you have more of them, you have different ones, and we're gonna pick someone that we have in common and just throw up, talk about...
Sure.
Well, we know. And this specific one came from, you posted something on Facebook saying Henry Winkler is a great guy.
He was in town, and there were people that were posting, and we've got the Bronze Fonz here in Milwaukee. That's down by the river. And he was taking pictures there. And I just posted, Henry Winkler was one of the kindest, nicest men I have ever met in my entire life. Now, I have in my history... I have come to realize that the middle people are the ones that can be the dicks.
Yeah.
The ones that are higher up, that are really well known, can be some of the nicest people in the world. And Henry Winkler was one of those. And he just never really super embraced his celebrity. He was always just...
He is not like the Fonz in real life.
No.
He is like the most anti-Fonz there is.
No.
Yeah, so what are your experiences with him? I mean, how did you know him?
Well,
I mean, you say he's a nice guy, but what do you know? What do you know about?
Well, the one thing that I do know, and I do want to tell you, he was recently in the news. Did you see him on the national news?
No.
On the Drew Barrymore show?
What did he do?
Oh, he was darling. Well, I'll do that, and then I'll tell you my story.
Okay.
So he... was sitting with her, and she took a big gulp of coffee and must have gone down the wrong pipe or something, and she started to choke and cough, and so she ran off the set, and he's sitting there. He's like, go, take care of yourself. And then he turned to the audience. He's like, hi, welcome for coming.
Oh, so he just took over. And
he just took over, and he was darling. But the one thing that I did with him... I was doing an event. I was emceeing an event out at the Waukesha Hospital, and they were having like an employee appreciation.
When was this?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask.
Ish.
15 years ago.
Okay, all right.
And so I was nervous because I knew he was going to be there. He was going to speak to the group, and so I was a little nervous because I never met him, and sometimes you just don't know how they're gonna be.
Yeah.
So I went backstage, and he was back there, and he was gracious. He was like, "I'm so glad to meet you. This is wonderful." And he goes, "What do you do?" And I told him what I did. He goes, "Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you happy with your life?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And he's like, "All right, you just go out and you do what you have to do. And then when you're ready, you just call me out." And so we spent about a half an hour backstage together, just talking.
Hanging out.
And I went out on the stage and I did my little dog and pony show. And then I called him out and he came out and he gave me this huge hug. And he was like, "Isn't she wonderful?" And he gave me a kiss on the cheek. And he goes, "Everybody, give a big round of applause for Carol. Didn't she do a great job?" And I mean, I was just like so taken back because I was just not expecting it, you know. And then he came out with that show, which was hilarious, with Terry Bradshaw and William Shatner.
Oh yeah, that road trip, the Boomer road trip show, yeah. Or something. I've never seen it. Is it funny?
Oh my God! You've got to. It's only okay. 2 seasons.
Okay.
But he's kind of like the mastermind behind it.
Okay.
And it is so funny and so endearing.
And you've got some Shatner stories, which we are not going to talk about today.
No, but we're
going to tease it because I have Shatner stories too.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay. So that's your experience.
Right.
With the Bronze Fonz himself.
He was charming.
Okay.
I don't know how many people I can say that about, but he was charming.
I have two stories.
Okay, you
about
tell
Henry
me.
Winkler.
Tell me yours.
This is a bookends, okay? The first one is in 1993, and the second one was in 2008. And I remember these specific dates because the first one was at the Bill Clinton inaugural parade in Washington, D.C. I was a freshman in college, and I went to George Washington University, which was right by the White House, so my roommate and I walked down to Pennsylvania Avenue, and we got in line and waited. And right before the inauguration started, we saw this crowd of people surrounding something. I'm like, "Well, maybe that's Bill Clinton. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
who
know,
knows?
Whatever. I'm 18
right?
years old. We walk over there, shove our way through, and it's Henry Winkler. And everybody's surrounding Henry Winkler. So me wanting to not miss an opportunity, I shove my way in and I say, this is just the beginning of dumb things I've said to celebrities over the years. I said, "Mr. Winkler, sir, may I shake your hand?" And he put out his hand and he said, "It's good to see you." And I thought, that is a brilliant way to introduce yourself to someone you don't know.
Right.
Because you're not saying "nice to meet you." You're just saying "it's good to see you." And he said it in his Henry Winkler voice, "It's good to see you." And for years since then, whenever I've been introduced to someone that I know or maybe I don't know, because I'm not very good with names and sometimes I forget, I've taken that to heart. So I say, "It's good to see you." And sometimes I say it in Henry Winkler voice. Telling that story for years, laughing about it. 2008 is the unveiling of the Bronze Fonz statue in Milwaukee. So if people don't know what that is, obviously probably his biggest role was Fonzie on Happy Days.
Right.
Loosely based in Milwaukee, right?
But the thing is that I've seen people write on Facebook, you know, why? And I'm like, because Laverne and Shirley was based out of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Right.
It was a spinoff from Happy Days.
Right.
So for the kids these days, Happy Days, based in Milwaukee, not actually filmed in Milwaukee, but, you know,
no.
It's like our adopted.
Right.
I mean, how many times have people said, "Oh, Milwaukee, Happy Days"? Ooh. So we decided to embrace it, made this.
And you know what? Let me just say this.
Yeah.
Every time I get like a major star or a major comedian that came into the studio that had never been to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Always love saying, "This is an unbelievable city."
Oh,
we
yeah.
we are treated like the redheaded stepchild of Chicago.
For sure.
And so it's like nobody pays any attention to us. Why do you think Paul McCartney loves living here, coming here? He, you know, my buddy Jim Lombardo gets him on a skull and he's out on Lake Michigan and he's having a great time. That's just part of the whole thing about Milwaukee. Anyhow, so
that's another episode. We have many of these. We're going to have dozens and dozens to talk about.
So okay, so
2008, and the Bronze Fonz thing is getting ready to happen through on Milwaukee.com. We're, you know, I'm invited to the VIP thing at the Pfister Hotel, the only 5-star hotel in Milwaukee. I'm with my then wife at the time, who's 9 months pregnant. My daughter's like days away from being born.
Oh, wow.
And walk in to the elevator, and it's Henry Winkler. So it's Henry Winkler, my then wife, and me. So I've been thinking about what I'm going to say to Henry Winkler, you know, since 1993.
Sure. Yeah.
So he's looking at me, and I say, "It's good to see you."
Oh, good for you.
And I said it in the same tone of voice, and he looked at me, and you could tell he was like, "That's my line." So he sees my future daughter inside my ex-wife's stomach and just goes and starts rubbing and saying, "This is a wonderful thing." And he was so sweet and so nice. And what a nice guy.
Yeah, he never, in my dealing with him, he never pulled the star bit. You know what I mean? He was always just a guy. And just normal, like everybody else. And like I said, the bigger the star, usually, this is what I have found to be true, is that all they want to do is be treated like regular people. They don't like the whole celebrity thing. To them is kind of like the backstory. It's like what I always say about me, when you were so kind in the beginning of this. I'm just a normal person that had an unusual job. That was it. Was I good at it? Probably.
Yes.
but I'm just, you know, I just told you the story about being out in my robe and slippers in the middle of the night, stepping on dog poop and tracking it through the house.
Henry Winkler probably does that too.
Exactly. That's the kind of stuff. And that's why you have to watch that show, if you can find it.
I will.
Because they are, Terry Bradshaw's hilarious. William Shatner, which is another podcast, we'll talk about him. William Shatner and George Foreman, unbelievably funny. So
That's great. That's
gonna make me feel good. You've got to check it out.
Well, I will endorse, for our first episode of Deep Dive Celebrity Adjacent, I will endorse Henry Winkler as a super nice guy.
Yes.
He rubbed the tummy. The baby came out great. Finally got to say, "It's good to see you."
Oh, that's wonderful.
Back to him after that long period of time. And I swear to God, that is a great way to say, "Nice to meet you." Because if you've already met them and you say, "It's nice to meet you," that hurts people's feelings. It's like, "No, I've already met you." But if you say, "It's good to see you," that works anytime.
Absolutely. Across the board.
Yeah,
it's
you
perfect.
Can use that one.
I'm going to steal it.
From Henry to me to you.
I'm stealing it.
That was episode one of Deep Dive Celebrity Adjacent. These are going to be funny, Carol. These are going to be easy. These are going to be one take.
I know.
And I learned it from you.
Oh, well, once again, like I said, all you got to do is just be yourself. That's it. And that's what people like to hear. They like to know that you're just like everybody else. That's what it is.
Like and subscribe. Tell us who you want to hear stories about, because we have a long list.
I got a huge list.
Yeah, there's some good stuff. We'll be back at you soon. Thanks, Carol.
You bet, Andy. Thank you.
Bye-bye.